Welcome to the Fabulous by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanik. This show inspires and empowers you to take the next step towards a life you can't stop thinking about. I am bringing in people from all over the world with authentic and inspiring stories. People who change their lives from good to better, from miserable to great, turn tragedy into hope, and start living their dream life on own terms. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to create a life of your dreams is already within you. Welcome to another amazing episode and a wonderful guest of the Fabulous by Design podcast. So today, I have the honor of speaking to Courtney Muller. She is a certified career leadership coach. And I would say I pass it on to you, Courtney, please. Tell us a little bit about your background and who you are.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to speak with you today, Ivana. My background over the last 15 years is within people operations, human resources, and talent acquisition. And over the last 5 or so years, I've also gotten into career and leadership coaching. So my background, within the corporate world has been finance, technology, and retail. And, as I said, I kind of got into coaching because I wanted to have more of an impact in my role in the corporate world. I do coach within my corporate role. I'm a leadership coach, all different levels of the organization. And over the last couple of years, I've started my own coaching business on the career coaching side. So really helping people to navigate career changes, to do it confidently, to give them the tools and resources to be successful in a job search and to help them land a role that's going to really keep them happy long-term with career advancement opportunities. So I'm very fulfilled in this sort of work. Happy that I'm able to have the coaching in both my corporate world as well as on my side hustle.
Thank you. This is a very, very straightforward introduction, and it leaves me with so many questions. I love that. And I will just kick off. You said you made a slight or actually a big career change in your career too. You are still in the corporate world, but you felt the desire for change because you wanted to make an impact. So how did this come? How did this appear in your life? And how did you go about it? Because what I see a lot is that desires are all over the place. People have desires. We are not meant to be stuck in one place as human beings. How did you respond to your desire?
Yeah, it wasn't easy. I think you really have to be confident in what you want. You have to put in the time, the effort, the energy. I was working full-time when I made, jump to go into coaching certification. It was a lot of hours. It was, school to go through that program. And I just really loved it. It was worth it to me to put in that time, put in that energy, educate myself, make sure that my skills were developing and I was able to service people in a powerful way. So I wanted to get certified. That was very important to me. And, over the last couple of years, I was like, I've gained all this experience in my corporate world. Why don't I bring these insights to people who are struggling to make a career change? And that's why I wanted to start that coaching business on the side to really support, more people in those sort of struggles, those obstacles that people face, the fear of how do I do it? How do I make a change? How do I switch industries? And, I wanted to help people to overcome that piece. So yes, it's difficult to start a business when you're working full time, but I was really passionate about it. And I joined a business incubator program, which was so life-changing for me. There was somebody who had reached out to me. She specialized in helping coaches to start their own, coaching business. And having somebody who is an expert to guide me, to show me the tools, the resources to do this. I had no experience starting a business, what that entails, but she helped me to build my confidence and show me what I was capable of. So I think, the advice I would give to somebody considering a change, educate yourself, connect yourself with people who can help you, who can educate you, who can guide you. It's worth it if you have people around you who can support you and show you the way, you know?
I resonate with this absolutely, because when I was, I wasn't a good corporate person, so to say, right? I never liked my jobs, although I was in amazing companies. I had the most wonderful people around me, supportive. I'm sure they've seen my potential, definitely, but I was not responding to that because I saw myself definitely somewhere else. There was a big desire of doing something different and seeing that I do not fit into this world. However, what I wasn't seeing, or the reason why I've been waiting for so long to literally take a step, was because my knowledge that I acquired over the time in my education, during all the years of work, I knew there is a lot, but I didn't know that there is an opportunity to translate this into a different format or even industry. So as you said, I needed those people who said, like, listen, this is what we have. These are the skill sets. This is needed here and there. And this is what you can do. And I really needed to speak to people who've been there to get rid of that feeling that I am creating something brand new, super scary, and it's not going to work. I had to see like thousands of people doing what I was doing in order to be like, hey, okay, this is not outer space. This is actually a normal process, right? And I think lots of people struggle with that. They don't see themselves in the new way of, as you said, what they want. And I think this is the most scary part in our lives, to state what we want, despite, you know, people who think differently, despite the hurdle and the obstacles. And then there's the question, you said you invested time in an education, you invested money. What if it doesn't work? How are we dealing with that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot there that really connected to me. I think building confidence is really what I needed when I made the change. And, you know, it's like, what if I fail? What if this is not successful? What if I don't get clients? And, you know, you have to try. If you're really passionate about something, if you really care deeply about it, if it's something that is within your core that you feel like you're meant to do, you have to try. You have to find that way. And I think it's like we talked about, it's partnering with the right people. It's, you know, seeing what's happening in the industry. So learning about whatever industry that you're trying to be in, you know, networking, going to networking events and connecting with people who are in the roles that you want to be in. It helps to, you know, feel that it's attainable. You know, you have to do that work to feel like it's possible. And, you know, without trying, how will you ever know? So I think, you know, I'm not somebody who wants to live with regrets. I'd rather experiment. I'd rather try things. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I inspire somebody to do the same. It is worth it if you really are passionate about something. And, you know, building your skills and learning and seeing what's possible, that's what I always encourage people to do. The last thing I would say is, you know, sometimes people need that clarity of what they want to do. And that can sometimes be the hardest thing, because we know that we're stuck. We know that it doesn't feel right what we're doing. How do we get that clarity? And that's where I think coaches can be so helpful to someone having that sort of block. You know, I work with people to kind of figure out at their core, what are they most passionate about? What are their interests? How can they apply their skills to different types of roles and uncover the possibilities? I think that clarity can be hard to do on your own. So having someone to help you through that can be really, really valuable.
I couldn't agree more with you that especially when we are stuck in a moment that we do not see the opportunities. It's really hard to find them, to grasp them, to dare to be like, you know, even to look at it, whether it is an opportunity or not. It's not like that we have to take it immediately and do like, you know, jump down the cliff, like as soon as we see it, you know, but just to, you know, to sit in stillness with yourself, potentially with your coach, and to be like, all right, this is what I see in front of me. What of these opportunities I'm going to take in the end or not. So it's more a discovery journey till we make the final decision. However, sometimes it feels like if I want to change something, I need to do it immediately, right now, right here. And there is a little a little time in between that really, you know, gives us the chance to overcome those obstacles, to build the confidence, etc. You're not only helping people who are transitioning from corporate into business, into the business world, but also within the corporate world, people change careers. Courtney, what do you see the most? What is the biggest fear of people, or why do people sit so long before they even think of a change?
Yeah, there's a few fears that I would say come up. Fears or concerns. Will I have the right skills to be successful somewhere else? You know, is the grass greener somewhere else? Is it really that bad where I'm currently at? You know, how will this impact my current lifestyle? You know, will I have to start over? Will I have to, you know, work long hours again if I have a family, if I have, you know, certain lifestyle that I want to maintain? So I think it's a lot of uncertainty of the, you know, what is going to happen? Will I be successful? Is this really, you know, worth it to make this sort of change? And I think, you know, we were talking a little bit before, the job market in the US is really difficult right now. And I think it can be very scary for people to attempt to make that change because it is so challenging. It is extremely competitive. Job openings last for only a couple of days and they're off the market. You have to move very quick. You have to really be ready. But, you know, that challenge can sometimes, you know, deter people from even trying because it's like, what's the point? There's so many people that are also trying. I'm never going to get that job. However, like, you know, you can do it. Like, it is possible. People are making those changes. Yes, it's difficult, but if you really want it, you can make it happen.
I see that. And you said before that I don't want to live with regrets and what I see, or I've been in this position for so many years, as you said, is the grass really greener on the other side? And then you just get a little tiny pay raise, right? And you'd be like, okay, fine, I'm good. I'll stay here, right? That's good enough. Till again, something happens that just shows you, okay, I'm no longer happy here. Whatever that is, can be the culture, can be your tasks, right? Can be that you're just, you know, you just outgrew that what you are doing. You outgrew your team, and you need to move on in order to find fulfillment and to challenge yourself. And then your boss will be just nice for a day and be like, okay, what am I even looking for? Why do I want more? And I sense a little bit of shame or guilt for having it potentially all, but yet wanting more, right? Do you have a word to this, and how can we overcome this guilt of wanting more or being able to state that we want more?
That resonates with me because it just in my corporate background, I was with one organization for many years, 12 years, in fact. And, you know, at a certain point, I knew that I wanted to make a change and I felt a lot of guilt. I felt a lot of loyalty to the team. I felt, you know, what if, you know, I'm not successful somewhere else? Is it really the right time? All of the questions that sort of come up in your mind and kind of, you know, hold you back from making the change. But in the end, you know, you have to do what's best for you. You have to do what you feel inside. And often I think our gut is telling us we really want to do this. And those internal fears, those conflicts, the inner voice that we have to use it as a motivator. We have to use that as something to help us make that change. So yes, I've definitely experienced that guilt. And I've worked with people who have that sort of guilt of how am I going to tell my boss or how am I going to tell my team? If they really care about you, they will support you. The same was for me. And, you know, I'm still in touch with everybody, you know, the people that I used to work with, everyone was very supportive. And, you know, I think if they really care about you as a person and as a colleague, they will support that change. So don't let that guilt weigh too heavily on you. You know, use it as a motivator, use it as something to help you to push forward through it, you know?
Oh my God, this resonates so much with me. You just brought back memories when I've been thinking back then in the company that I left last before I moved countries, before I started my business, before I was doing what I wanted to do. These people were kind. This team was incredibly sweet. My colleagues longer my friends. My boss was my friend until today, my mentor. And I had to tell them that I'm leaving country. I'm leaving everything behind. And there was this support indeed. But before that, I was just thinking they're going to hate me for the rest of my life. Like, I was so afraid to be rejected, right? By the people I liked so much, by the people I've spent like my entire days with, obviously, that it becomes quite a close circle. And what actually happened is indeed that support that I got even, and this is something that doesn't happen often, more paid holidays so I can go to Greece to check out a new job. And I was baffled. I was just, you know, with my mouth wide open, be like, oh my God, how could I have ever feared this, right? Why I was making up these stories in my head. And I think it comes down to the thing that we make up stories that might happen, potentially never will. And I think as sad as it sounds, everybody can be replaced in the corporate world or anywhere else. They will find someone who just brings the same skill set to the table, whether it becomes a friend too. That's, you know, always like a question, but they will feel that position, I believe, and there is no guilt to feel that we potentially want more and climb a career ladder, and that leaving a company is okay nowadays, rather than staying somewhere for 30 years, like it was in my parents' time, for example. Like, my dad did not understand my switches. And I think a lot comes from family as well, right? From the people who tell us what's good for us, stay in that company, they pay you well, they treat you well, they do everything what you need. And you're like no, I need more. Are you dealing with some external influences too, like family, partners? And if, how do you solve this?
I think, you know, when I decided to start a business, I think, you know, for the most part, everyone around me was very supportive and very encouraging. But I think there was just the concern of how are you going to make time to do that? And, you know, I think I'm a very resilient sort of person. I knew that that would be a challenge, but I generally have always been very hardworking and have a strong work ethic. So just the way I was able to sort of navigate that, make the time for it, you know, have a very rigid sort of schedule and making sure like evenings and weekends, that was about the coaching business. And it continues to be that way. I am carving out the time that I can really, you know, support my clients. But yes, I think outside influences, you know, there was concerns of how are you going to manage your time effectively? How are you going to get it all done? But I think, you know, with time and people knowing me and people who are close to me, they knew I was capable. I think it was just, don't burn yourself out. Don't, you know, spread yourself too thin, because, you know, you want to be able to have a social life. You want to have a personal life as well. And these sacrifices are part of it. You know, when you are starting a business, when you have that entrepreneurial sort of spirit, there's going to be sacrifices. You are going to have to skip that dinner with friends. You're going to have to maybe skip a trip to focus on something else if you're really, you know, all in on, you know, making that change or starting that business. But again, I think if you're really passionate about it, those short-term sacrifices are okay to build something that can, you know, be long-term successful. So yes, I think the outside influencers are there, and that's good. I think those are motivators for me. It's like, I can do this. Like, yes, it is a concern, but like, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready to take it on at this point.
I love how you always bring it back. Yes, it is an obstacle, but it actually motivates me because I want to overcome it. This appeared now 3 times, like in our conversation, just like, I want to point this out that indeed, if we see obstacles, naysayers or whatever as a catalyst to move into the direction rather than having us stand still and overthink for the 10th time, I do see potential in this. And I think it's a quite a good skill to develop over the time. And as you said, you mentioned sacrifices. And if I think now of especially the factor time and the term work-life balance, because the whole world seems to be wanting to balance their lives. And what I see, what I understand when I hear balance is that you spread yourself thin. You are balanced everywhere, like a little bit of health, a little bit of fitness, a little bit of friends, a little bit of relationship, a little bit of job, career, and perhaps a little bit of private time, a little bit of everything, but nothing really. And I think what in my world exists, just as in yours, is priority, right? Do you have a tip for us if we have to prioritize whether a journey of writing applications, developing skill sets, and working on the self-presentation to get a job or build a business, whatever it is, how do we make time without feeling guilty? How do we communicate and how do we make this possible so it actually makes us feel good? Because in the end, you are doing something that's good for you, but I think the step to get there is usually a big hurdle. Do you have a tip?
Yeah, I think a couple of things there. The first is no matter what, prioritize your health and your wellness because how you feel and how you show up to your interviews or to, different priorities in your life is the most important thing. So you have to feel good. You have to feel physically, mentally, spiritually good with whatever change that you're trying to do. So that's number one. So I always try to make sure I'm living a healthy, active lifestyle because I need to be able to show up in a powerful way in my corporate job, with my clients outside of that. So that's number one. Number two is, really be very diligent and disciplined with your time management. I'm a very, organized planner. My calendar has blocks for, going to the gym and those personal priorities that are important to me, the health and wellness stuff, but everything is built into my routine, into my schedule. And I find that if you don't block it off, your time will get, swept up by something else. So when you're a busy person, when you have a lot going on, you're doing 100 different things, be very clear with your schedule of how you need to block off your time to make sure you're fitting in all the things that matter to you. And no week is ever going to be perfect. We're not going to be productive every single day. And I sort of view it as every day is a new opportunity to be more productive than the last. So it's having that sort of discipline to really map out your schedule in the most ideal way. Of course, things are going to come up, but really hold yourself accountable to that and making sure that you're building in all the priorities that matter to you. You're more likely to do it if it's visually in your calendar. That's helped me a lot.
What it comes down to is basically to develop a skill that I think is also very valuable in the future. And this is how to manage your time wisely and to literally prioritize what's important for you. That can be, I believe, it can be in phases. Like if you prioritize once our career, it doesn't have to stay forever that we have to sacrifice every weekend and everything. The time will come where we will have the time to lean back again and be like, okay, now I'm going to prioritize my health even more, as you said, or I'm going to go on travel, or I'm going to start a family, right? I think priorities change in life. And I just want to take away the fear that if you make the decision once, it's not permanent. Like I heard, like my client last time said, I know that my current is not my constant, but, and then it continued. But this is a good quote where you say, like, it doesn't always have to be because if you have made a change once, you can do it another time and another time and another time. So, dear listener, if this resonates with you and let us know what your takeaway is. Get in touch if you need help. Courtney is very easily accessible. You will find everything you need to get in touch with her in the show notes. And if you know someone who really needs to hear this, if you want to help someone push forward, please don't hesitate to share. And before we round up this conversation, Courtney, I would like to ask you a last question. What do people misunderstand the most about you?
I think the thing maybe that stands out here is, my background is within human resources, people operations, talent acquisition. There's often maybe misconceptions of what that means and what HR is today. It's really evolved over the last 10 to 20 years. And, I think there could be, a certain idea of, oh, it's administrative, you are hiring and firing people, just very sort of traditional HR from years ago. That is not the case. I cover a lot of different areas, everything within the employee life cycle, performance management, benefits, onboarding, offboarding, recruiting, all of the different things that impact an employee's journey within an organization. So HR, 50 years ago is it's just way different than what it is today. We are very much a partner to leadership. We are really trying to help teams to perform at a higher level and to have an amazing employee experience. So, not what it was many years ago. And I always like to point that out because, the function of HR and people operations is just so valuable to an organization, especially nowadays.
I like you pointing this out because I think we need more of this. We need more guidance, someone who is in between the CEOs and the departments, and someone who can put themselves into both of the parties' shoes in order to navigate a better experience, as you say. And I would love to see this more. It's just so much missing. And I thank you, Courtney, for doing this work, for immersing yourself with all your passion, because this is clearly what I can hear. And dear listener, I can also tell you this is possible for you too. You can have a job, you can have a business that is fun. Because just remember, we are spending so much time in our careers and work. Just imagine if this would be something really good you enjoy. Just have that vision shortly for yourself and then go. Take the action and just go ahead and contact whoever you need to contact to make this possible. Courtney, I would like to say thank you for your time and your wisdom. I really appreciate that you shared your values with us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Excited to chat with you today.